Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. The University of Auckland is in the middle of a lecture series called The Future of Journalism. We're joined by Sue Abel, Senior Lecturer at Auckland, who next week is speaking on Māori representation in the news.
Well, Sue, thanks for joining us, and it's quite fitting to have you here on the last day of Māori Language Week. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
And so the series of these lectures is really about the future of journalism, and some might say the end of journalism. We hear an awful lot of complaints about journalism. Now, your particular topic is about the influence or the sort of coverage of Māori issues and a Māori perspective in a wider sense. Are we getting worse in that regard?
I don't think we're getting worse. Some of my academic colleagues would disagree. I actually think we're getting better, and again, some of my academic colleagues would disagree. But I don't think we're doing nearly well enough.
Because we have a lot of news. I mean, say TV news, straight TV news, we have an hour-long bulletin, which is, in worldwide terms, unheard of. And yet, if you're looking for Māori stories, or stories with a Māori perspective, you'd be hard-pressed, wouldn't you?
Yes, yes. Recent research has shown that about 2% of the stories are Māori stories. And even then, in fact, international research shows that minority groups, when they get on television news or even press news, are likely to be in the categories of crime, deviance, or some other category, which I can't remember right now.
Well, we've seen
sport.
We've seen that this week. Haven't, I mean, in the last couple of weeks, we've seen a story about a young Māori Party politician that's been in that sort of sexual deviance thing. This is the gentleman who taped himself having sex with a woman and used it. I mean, that's been all over the papers. Where are the good news stories coming out?
I don't know. They are coming. Well, they are coming on Māori television and on Te Karere. But they do not really seem to come on mainstream at all.
There's been a lot of research about the effect of, say, for youth, of having constantly negative images of youth in the media. Was the same thing apply for Māori when you're constantly being reinforced that you're criminals, you're prison population, you're this, you're that? Has the same impact?
I'm part of a research group who have been given $800,000 by the Health Research Council to look at coverage of Māori across news. I mean, why would Health Research Council give this? Because of that whole thing, that continual negative representation of a minority group is no good for their health in all senses of the word. So we're a group of seven, four Pākehā and three Māori researchers. We've collected a three-week kind of made-up sample across print, radio and television. We've got focus groups going, and we're in the process of interviewing media practitioners.
Media is invariably negative, full stop, though, isn't it?
No, Western media. Let's qualify it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's very interesting what you're saying there with stories from a Māori perspective. What does that mean exactly? What would a news story from a Māori perspective look like?
I think it's more than just a Māori perspective. I think it's also news stories which do not take into account colonial history in New Zealand. Can I give an example?
Please, yes.
On the first day's coverage of the raids on Ruatoki, TV1 and TV3 appeared to give very balanced stories. Okay, they cut between the police commissioner's press conference and excerpts from what they called so-and-so resident of Ruatoki. Right, and they talked and said, "How has this raid impacted on you?" And one woman said, "You know, it makes us look as if we're all criminals, the fact that they've raided us." And somebody else said, "We were meant to be building up the valley today, and it stopped us doing that." And this looks like, given what people normally think about Māori, that's enormously positive. Right, good. But when you compare that with Māori television coverage and Te Karere coverage, they didn't call them residents of Ruatoki, they called them Tūhoe. They talked about the fact that one of the police blockades was on the confiscation line where Tūhoe land had been taken, and it was incredibly important to Tūhoe people. They talked about the fact that this wasn't the first time that the state had raided Tūhoe. Really different perspective.
Or right, so the first one, in context.
Yes, it puts it all in context. So the mainstream one wasn't negative, but it didn't tell the whole story.
Do you think this is a problem in a wider sense with any sort of journalism, that reporters are often required in the modern newsroom to turn a story? They get given a story in the morning. They've never done a story on Tuhui in their lives before. They get told to turn something around by 3 o'clock so they can get out there and do a live stand-up in time for the 6 o'clock news.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And they're often not aware that there is all this other side to it, and they're not trained to.
What is the solution? How do we fix this? I mean, I have maybe exactly the same problem with, say, environmental reporting in this country, that we send out reporters who have no scientific knowledge, no scientific background, don't have enough time to do the research, and they run into one climate denier, and that completely skews our environmental reporting. So is this a systemic problem that doesn't just affect Māori issues, but perhaps everything?
I think there's several prongs to that. One is the absolutely deeply embedded notion of news values in the Western world, which puts conflict and negativity first. Right, let's do that. The other is the lack of knowledge of what happened in New Zealand in the years since 1840 and how it impacts on the present day and why it is important to know it. If you're talking about treaty settlements, anything like that, people need to know. I heard that anecdotally from one of my students who works part-time at TV3's newsroom, that the evening that John Key withdrew to Eruwera, unilaterally from the negotiating table, they had all these people ring in and say, "And so he should, and so he should." And the same bulletin, absolutely ironically, had the Party of Māori Club at the end, and all these people rang in and said, "Aren't they lovely? Aren't they lovely?" So it's that classic thing of Māori have a place, and it's singing and dancing or doing a haka.
Yeah, we love our culture as long as they stay in Rotorua and on postcards.
Yeah, but nobody knew the history to the Tohu settlement.
Yeah,
and that's partly the structure of the news, isn't it? That it's very hard to get 140 years of story into a 90-second package in the news, isn't it? Is it heartening that there are shows like Native Affairs on Māori TV and documentaries, especially there, that are looking at things in a longer context?
Of course. And one of the things this series I'm speaking in asks is, in fact, Colin Peacock talked about it last week, where are the serious current affairs shows on TV1 and TV3? Cameron
Bennett
was in the audience. John Hudson was in the audience. And I wondered what they thought about that. But there isn't this. So another factor is that increasing commercialisation of the media. Yes. And the fact that to get advertising, you are talking to a particular audience, and Māori people are not that audience.
Is there a reluctance on the part of Māori to tell some of the stories, you know, that are important? I listen to, say, for example, on state radio, there's the Māori section of the new, you know, of the news. It's a 10-minute or 5-minute bulletin, and often the stories seem to be relatively what I'd call trivial. You know, they're not talking about big developments in the iwi politics. They might be talking about a hotel that used to be run by some Māori fella back in the 1940s, and now it's been revived, or something equally trivial. And I wonder, you know, they've got this section here that, where they can tell these stories, and they tend to focus on some very odd choices. Is there a hesitance to, do you think, from within Māoridom to report on some of the big issues for fear of political, you know, internal political conflict or saying the wrong thing?
I'm not quite sure how to answer that.
Truthfully would be a good response.
No, I actually don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But I have just played my students TV1 and TV3's coverage of the launching of Māori television, right? TV3 ran it first up, big historic moment. TV1, we sat through a family who had lost their way in a park and had to have search and rescue go for them, but they got there, it was a happy ending, and all the rest of it before we got to anything about the launch of Māori TV. So I'm asking, who's trivial?
Look, Sue, this is fascinating, and I'm sure we could talk about this all evening, but that's all we've got time for. If you'd like to hear more about this from Sue, 1 p.m. at the Maidment Theatre at Auckland University on Tuesday. Thank you very much, Sue.
Thank you.
Kia ora. Coming up after the break, we talk to the boys from Niche and Mystic.